welcome to the 21 and 21 podcast.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know Eric Ativo is a Stockholm-based product designer and Human Rights Foundation grantee working on Bitcoin and eCash. He's a lead designer at Hoseki and contributes to open source projects that make Bitcoin more usable and private.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's joining us for Bitcoin Design Week, and it's the last day.
Yeah, we're wrapping it up today. Today's the final session. I'm very excited for it.
Yes, me too. It's been an event-packed week, but yeah. I think it's been going well.
It's been really well. I was telling Christoph and Mo earlier, this is the best Bitcoin event I've been to in my life. So I'm beyond happy with how it went.
Wow. And I think you've been to a lot of Bitcoin events.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, can you maybe just tell our listeners like more about it and kind of what the overall goal was?
Yeah. So I'm here for Bitcoin Design Week, which is a collaboration between the Bitcoin design community and Bitcoin Presidio, where we're inviting designers from the Bitcoin space, but also designers from the non-Bitcoin space that are in the Presidio San Francisco area to join us for a week of sessions, workshops, discussions, kind of ideation about what the future of money will look like from a design point of view. And when you kind of bring in people that maybe aren't already into Bitcoin design, but are working in other industries, you can get some really interesting kind of cross like pollination and stuff. So the idea is to explore what the future of digital money or money looks like with people in the environment where they kind of shape the future technologically, which is this place.
Yes, I was super excited about this event. Well, I mean, one of our goals at Presidio Bitcoin is to help bridge Bitcoin and Silicon Valley. And I'm curious, have you gotten any feedback so far from maybe non-Bitcoiners that has been like interesting and useful?
Yeah, there was one individual from a company. Should I say the company? Yeah, I think I can, right? Yeah, so from Amazon, they expressed interest in learning more about Bitcoin as a payment method. And how they can kind of maybe think about why it is that Amazon, being such a large retailer, they're not integrating this payment method into their business. So they kind of were approaching this from a very different angle, where they just wanted to learn more about kind of how this money works and how they could incorporate it into their business, basically. And yeah, so that's kind of I think like an a really good archetype type of person that would benefit from this event to kind of see Bitcoin in action, how it's currently used, and kind of feel the power of it. And then hopefully a light bulb goes off where they realize it's actually pretty easy for us to implement or use. Hopefully that's what we try to make it.
Yeah, it's actually been really interesting. I mean, we've had a lot of events at Presidio Bitcoin over the last like 9-10 months or whatever. And I think that this has been the biggest success in getting like non-Bitcoiners here. I mean, I've been meeting a lot of people who are some people from University of Berkeley, which was like really cool to see. And then, yeah, like some people, it was like their first Bitcoin event ever.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And I think like organizing this event around designing the future of money is a really good framing, as opposed to just screaming, let's get in here and talk about Bitcoin. It's more the future of how does digital money look like. That's, I think, a much more kind of open message to a lot of people. It's not a Bitcoiner event for Bitcoiners.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that is a good point. Yeah, we didn't even have Bitcoin like in the title of the event.
No. So it's, and there's a lot of people in San Francisco who work on money in some form. So, and they're designers. So get over here.
This was a great learning lesson. I love having a bunch of designers here because mainly it's like a lot of developers. So there's just lots of cool fashion here, lots of cool like artsy conversations, and then new perspectives. I'm like, that was really smart. So maybe talk a little bit kind of what we did yesterday, which was a bit like kind of like hackathon based almost. And I'd love for you to tell our listeners like maybe a little bit more about the kind of like hackathon design challenge project that you worked on.
Yeah. So yesterday, I think, was the most fun session because it was a session where we were really kind of jamming on ideas, and we had these kind of grand design challenges, and there were a variety of them. The one that I chose to kind of focus on was a BitChat focused challenge. I think a lot of the listeners will know what BitChat is. The TLDR is that it's a messaging app that was vibe-coded by Jack Dorsey that lets people communicate via Bluetooth. So they can just send messages totally offline just using Bluetooth rails. And what we explored were, what are some ways that we can basically add cool features to this app? Payments were kind of one idea. That's an idea that I've already kind of been working on with BitChat. I've worked separately on integrating an eCash wallet into BitChat. But ultimately, we kind of went a different direction with yesterday's challenge. We looked into creating kind of private or permission groups in BitChat, because by default, it's a mesh network. And that means that it communicates locally with whoever is in your Bluetooth mesh. So 15 to 50 meters, I believe, is the range. But we also want a way to kind of make closed channels, private channels. So we looked at, like, what does the kind of UX of creating a private channel look like? And I think one of the really kind of cool things that we settled on was this concept, this idea of inviting people with this kind of bump UX, kind of like Apple Pay, where I create the group, I generate an invite, and then you can imagine that an NFC kind of invite card appears. And then if I want to invite you to my private BitChat group, I just bump your phone, and then you get invited into it. And we wanted that because this is mesh, so it's local, 15 to 50 meters. So we should already be in the same area. And now there's this kind of, I think, really novel and really kind of personal experience of just like inviting people to your chat by, like, you know, phone bumping, almost like your fist bumping, and then you're letting them into your space. So yeah, we put together a concept with a high fidelity design. I vibe coded something that was hard coded. So not fully functional, but it ran through the scope of creating a channel and inviting. And that was fun. And we did it all in 1 hour. And we even, you know, put some logic about how the permission group should work and whatnot.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it was really cool. It was way better than my project. So I guess, like, kind of like the output that you guys did yesterday, like, what's the next step? Is that going to, like, be submitted into PR? Are you going to try to get it into the real app, or like, how does that work?
Yeah. So the next step for me, at least, is to get it fully functional and not hard coded. So I actually met someone who has another Android. So today, what I'm going to do is, I have it running locally on my computer. I'm going to try to flesh it out so that it fully functions with the communication protocol, the Bluetooth, and the invite actually kind of works, and it's not just like a hard coded thing. So I want to actually flesh it out and have like a fully working prototype, and then test it between two Androids. I think we can do the NFC invite on Android because they're not as restrictive as Apple. So I really just want to see if I can get it fully functional. And then maybe I can share it with the larger BitChat community, because it's open source. So I'll throw it out on Twitter. I'll throw it out anywhere. Be like, hey, we came up with this during the Presidio Design Week. Here's our idea. What do you guys think?
Very cool. Yeah, we kind of have this thing at Presidio Bitcoin where, like, people tend to come here and then they leave with lots of work. We're very good at, like, making people busy.
Yeah, I can kind of already see how that
is. Yeah. Well, another thing that you were building with BitChat was, like, this integration with Cashew.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like a lot of people don't understand Cashew. Like, can you, like, just, like, before we get into that,
yeah,
really just at the basic level, for people even who, like, kind of barely understand Bitcoin, how is Cashew different?
Sure.
How we explain it? Why it's cool?
Yeah, let's do it. Cashew in 1 minute. I'll do my best. So Cashew in the context of Bitcoin, and I'll speak about eCash in the context of Bitcoin, and I'll speak about Cashew specifically. It's a mechanism, or it's a way to use Bitcoin that, What eCash does is it lets you take Bitcoin that you already have in the form of Lightning, and then change that Bitcoin, give it some magical properties so that the Bitcoin just becomes a string of text. It becomes a piece of data. And when you're able to transform Bitcoin into just a string of text, a piece of data, where the data is now the money, you can do really, really cool things. And what does that look like? So you can imagine that I've gone from sats I had in my Lightning wallet, and I've deposited them into an eCash wallet. And from the end user, it looks the same. You just receive a Lightning payment. But now that I have this data, I can unlock this kind of throw UX or this push UX, because the data is the money. So that means I can take that data, I can encode it in a QR code, I can print it out and give it to someone, I can airdrop it to someone, I can do like a bump to pay kind of push UX where I just throw you the data, because it's just a string of text. And what I think is really special about it is that it also works totally offline, because all you're doing is transmitting data. You can just send that through SMS, through Bluetooth, you don't need to be online to use kind of those two payment rails. So I think it unlocks this way of using Bitcoin that is very similar to how we use physical cash, where you just hand someone a thing and then they receive it. You don't need a direction. You don't need to have an instruction set on where to send it. Like with traditional Bitcoin Lightning, you require a Lightning address or a URL or a destination of some sort. With eCash, you don't. And one of the key things that I want to emphasize is that it unlocks these kind of properties with the trade-off of custody. So eCash is a custodial solution. I want to be very, very clear about that. So you trade custody to get these kind of magical properties of using the data as money.
That was very good. Yeah, I feel like you have been the best person to explain eCash to me. So thank you for that explanation. And then, so you kind of mentioned it, but like, well, maybe we're getting a little technical here, but like the Lightning Network, which is like a layer on top of like, you know, on-chain mm-hmm. Bitcoin. How does what's the relationship between eCash and the Lightning Network? Is the Lightning Network like critical to how eCash functions?
Yeah, it's absolutely critical because Lightning is the glue that kind of holds this thing together and makes it interoperable. Because if you didn't have a way to go from eCash to Lightning, you would be kind of locked into this. It wouldn't even really be Bitcoin. You'd just be using some you know, third-party coin, basically. So Lightning is the glue. What makes eCash, I think, special and novel is that you can go from eCash and you can just send it to anyone's Lightning wallet. It's fully interoperable with the Lightning Network. So when somebody puts a Lightning Network QR code in front of you, or if you want to send it to someone's Lightning address, you can just do that from the eCash wallet. So that's that interoperability, I think, is key.
Like kind of like thinking about the future in like an ideal world and, you know, having good user experiences, maybe like there's trade-offs with custody or maybe people having a choice. What do you think like is like the kind of ideal vision of like Bitcoin working with eCash in the next like 5 years?
So I think that there's something I didn't touch on is kind of the privacy benefits, is that eCash offers the best in class privacy. It uses very old cryptography that I'm not going to pretend like I have a super sophisticated understanding, but it uses Chomian and blinded signatures in order to achieve this totally perfect privacy so that when you transact with eCash, it's technically mathematically impossible for someone to kind of see a trail there. So that to me, when I think about the future of what eCash could look like or the cool things that people can do about it, I think about existing custodial solutions in the space that people already gravitate to. Things like Wallet of Satoshi, or if you have Bitcoin on Cash App, you're using Cash App as a custodian. And what I would love to see is one, for these custodial solutions to implement eCash mechanisms so that they increase the privacy of the users all across the board. I think that would be a massive win for custodial Bitcoin to get this level of privacy. And I would also like to see these wallets kind of really lean into the push UX, this throw UX. I think of a wallet like Cash App, which is a really beautiful Lightning experience. It's really nice to send Bitcoin on Cash App. What I would love to see would be something like, at the time that you go to hit send Bitcoin, you type in whatever, you know, $10 in Bitcoin, and you hit next. If there's like an option that's like throw cash, you tap that, and then imagine something like almost like an Apple Pay, like a nicely designed Cash App card slides up with like $13 on it. And it says, you know, tap your phone with your friend to send your cash. And then you just go like that. And then you just like receive the cash. And that would work instantly with zero fees between two Cash App users because they can be in the same cashew mint. And what I think would be really novel about that is that it would be perfectly private. You can imagine this kind of throw cash feature in custodial wallets, where if you have like 50 people at a conference and everyone just throws the cash with this kind of bump UX to each other, there would be no record of that transaction. And it would have this really, really great kind of just push throw experience. I think the big thing there is the regulatory thing, which I'm not a lawyer. I can't speak to that. Like, is this even feasible for a custodial solution to offer this kind of service where they don't have the ability to trace it and they lose that kind of, you know, maybe legal requirement that they required it to do some due diligence? I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I'm strictly thinking about like, how can this experience feel really magical? And I think about things like that.
This would only work with custodial wallets though?
Custodial wallets that are part of the same mint. So yeah.
Okay. So then like Lightning is more of like a solution for non-custodial wallets?
Well, the Lightning ASIC would work for a custodial or a non-custodial wallet, but that would be just a payment done through the Lightning network.
I see.
So it would just route through the Lightning network, and you would just have the same kind of Lightning network experience. This kind of push effect would work for people within the same mint.
The same eCash.
So yeah, that's why I say like it would make sense if everyone just had Cash App and wanted to kind of throw this cash, or if everyone had Wallet of Satoshi and wanted to have this experience.
Got it. Super cool. Quick pivot away from Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
So you're living in Sweden, and mm-hmm. funny enough, we discovered that like you live like where, because my grandma was from Sweden, like yes, in the same like
very close
area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe talk a little bit about how, like, what's the most Swedish thing that you've picked up?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I think the most Swedish thing that I've picked up that I've had to adjust coming from being an American is the embracing the idea of not doing small talk. And people in Swedish society, it's kind of polite and it's considered like appropriate to not interrupt strangers if you don't know them, which is very different from American culture, where if I'm in an elevator with somebody or I run into somebody wearing a shirt with a band or whatever the case may be, that is a cue to strike up a conversation. That's not weird. You're not bizarre for doing that. In Sweden, you shouldn't really do that. It's seen as, if you don't know that person, it's almost out of respect. Like, you don't want to invade their privacy or their space with a question if you don't know them. So I've had to adjust to this society that is very kind of reserved and insular. And it's kind of changed the way that I've interacted. And I think in some ways, now when I'm here in the US walking around and I have kind of these interactions with strangers, that they're very different.
That's interesting. I guess, like, as a designer, like, what about the Swedish kind of architecture or anything about the culture has, like, influenced the way you think?
Yeah. So Sweden is I think it's a designer's paradise. I think that there's just a lot of thoughtfulness into how they've designed their cities, into also how they've designed their kind of social infrastructure. And what I mean by that is that Sweden is a very, very high-tech society, and there's actually a lot of cons to this. And you can kind of, anyone interested, they can Google about how cashless Sweden is, for example. Physical cash is non-existent there. Everything is done centralized through an application that is, you know, totally surveilled and controlled by the state called BankID. But it's actually an example, to me, it highlights that if you design an experience really well, anyone can use these digital products to authenticate and do things. So there are people in Sweden that are they're not digitally native, they might be in their 50s or their 60s, but they all use BankID to sign in to their bank account, to pay taxes, to reload their Metro card, to when you pick up a package at a post office, you sign on your phone, and then the person gives you the package. You don't need to show your physical ID. Everyone interacts with this BankID software, and it's designed so well that it appealed to everyone there. And to me, that's proof that if you design something really, really well, and it becomes sticky and integrated into society, people want to use it and they enjoy using it. And I'm not going to get into kind of the privacy aspects and the trade-offs that the people made to kind of engage with this system. That's kind of a separate discussion. But solely from a kind of design and user experience point of view, it's kind of inspirational that they've managed to design something that really just kind of permeated across society like that.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I mean, yeah, with Bitcoin, and it's really interesting that you say like non-digital native people can just like pick it up and mm-hmm. like there's, you know, not like challenges, which is actually kind of something I've noticed with like AI, like ChatGPT, for example. Like my boyfriend's like 94-year-old grandma is like using it. Like she's like, she knows how to use it. It's like easy, like definitely not like a digitally native person. So there's definitely like a large experience with like, or opportunity with Bitcoin to just make it super easy to use, where like we don't have this like excuse anymore that it's like confusing.
Yeah. And I think with a lot of the chat apps or like the LLMs, like there's a saying that like no interface is the best interface. And these ChatGPT in particular has done something really well where you're just chatting, or they have the, on your phone, they have the button you can hit where it's almost like you're just speaking to a device and it just speaks back to you. And then you don't interact with it other than your voice. And when you pause, it responds. If you interrupt it, it'll stop talking and then, you know, prioritize your response. So no interface there. That's, I think, you know, really well done.
Interesting. Okay, we have a few minutes left. Even though this has been super fun, we have to get back to Design Week.
Let's do it.
Get to the breakfast burritos before they run out. So I guess kind of like leaning into that anymore, are there any like dream projects that you'd want to see Bitcoiners build that have like a really cool, seamless user experience?
Yeah, I would love to see. I'm a huge fan of Swift, which is the native programming languages that Apple uses to kind of make these like kind of magical experiences that you feel when you use Apple products. One of the things that I would like to see are more cashew apps coded in Swift. So they have these very subtle kind of micro animations and these haptics that the everyday person might not kind of realize they're there. But when you add these things and when they're kind of in the totality of the app, they add up to this really just like polished and beautiful experience, because it's all these little things, the subtle shadow, the subtle micro animation, the slight haptic when you like send something that make it feel magical. I want to see more apps kind of lean into that. And with Apple in particular, when you're kind of in the ecosystem, you can unlock really, really cool things that you can't do on other ecosystems. There's this thing called extensions, which some people might be familiar with this when you're on iMessage and you hit the plus icon on the left and that kind of menu slides up and you click on photos. And then at the bottom of your message are your photos, and you can tap on them, select them, do things, and then just send it in the message. You never had to leave your chat or your iMessage to kind of perform this action. I want to see eCash lean into those kind of experiences where I'm just using iMessage, chatting with my friend, and I can hit plus, select an eCash wallet, select 12, and then just send it through iMessage. And it's very seamless. It doesn't even feel like you're using Bitcoin. It feels like I'm chatting with you, just throwing you money, and then it appears in a chat box and you just tap it and it opens up your wallet and claims it automatically. That's what I want Bitcoin to feel like. I don't want it to feel like it's this extremely novel, complex technological project that you have to download a wallet for and then use a layer one or a layer two and all this stuff. I want to see Bitcoin integrated into how people already use their devices. So that's the type of stuff that makes me really excited and the type of stuff that I want to work on.
Yeah, we definitely don't want like the user to know anything about like layer one or layer two, or
I think
maybe at a basic level.
There's different kinds of users, and I think it's okay for certain people.
For some people.
Yeah, that want to have Phoenix and look at my channels and see that they're balanced and stuff like that. I think that's great. And I'm not, you know, saying that that's the wrong approach, but I think for a lot of people, we often forget that most people are not Bitcoin enthusiasts. They actually don't care. They just want to do things and have them work. And I want to design for them because, you know, that's where the magic is, I think. People like me that are deeply into Bitcoin, I have a high tolerance for things that might not be, you know, the most elegant. But if we really want this thing to feel like magic internet money, keyword there is magic. And I think a lot of that comes into how people experience it for the first time.
Last question, super quick. If you could give our listeners just a single thought that would maybe like inspire people who aren't into Bitcoin already, maybe designers or people mm-hmm. around here, like what would you say to encourage them about designing the future of money?
Yeah. The most important thing is that anyone can contribute to Bitcoin. And that might just sound like a truism or a cop-out, but let me explain it further. You don't have to be a designer or a developer to contribute to Bitcoin. One of the biggest ways that you can help is literally just to use a Bitcoin app and think about what was confusing, what was clear to you when you used it. So much of design is not visual. It's not about the shadow. It's not about the radius of the box. It's not about how you lay things out. It's about words. It's about copy. So if you're someone that just likes using Bitcoin, but you're not a designer or you're a developer, you can help tremendously by using someone's app, looking at the copy, looking at the messaging. How are you communicating things to the users as I'm running through things? And then stopping and taking 5-10 minutes to take screenshots, share them with the developers and say, hey, when I was using your wallet, I found this kind of language confusing, or I expected that when I opened up this menu, I would see this option here, but I found it here instead. And for me, that didn't make sense. You're helping design Bitcoin products when you're just doing that. So I would encourage anyone out there that wants to contribute to do that. Reach out to developers, reach out to designers, and share your experience when you used it. You can help. And also, if you ever use a Bitcoin app that made you feel really good and made you feel like that was slick, like you felt like that was happy, tell them. Tell the designers, tell the developers. That goes such a long way to kind of hear that from people.
That was a great way to end the show. Well, if someone wants to tell you about something that you've designed that's cool, where can they reach out to you? What should they follow?
Yeah, you can find me on the World Wide Web. I love the internet. I won't stay off the net. I'm on primal.net/Eric. That's my Nostr account.
Eric with a K.
Eric with a K. Yeah, the Scandinavian way. You can go to erik.day. That's my website with all my links there. If you're on X or Twitter, it's uxeric_. Those are, you know, three ways to just reach out to me and just tag me and let's have a conversation. I'd love to know what Bitcoin apps you're using. If you use eCash, tell me like what didn't work for you or what sucks so we can make it better.
If they see you, if they're in within 15 meters, they can bump you on BitChat.
I'm working on it. So if you're within 15 meters, put pressure on me. Next time you see me, pull out your Android and be like, Eric, invite me to a private BitChat channel right now. That's going to fire me up to actually get that function working.
Okay, I'm going to do that later today except I don't have an Android.
So you're not.
I can't. Okay. Well, thanks for joining the show. Let's go have a great final day at Presidio Bitcoin Design.
Let's do it. Let's go. Breakfast burritos.
Yeah. Okay.